بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. And you're listening to Bibi Aisha Lahey on your Tokyo on Radio Islam Medium Wave Internet, Radio Islam International Medium Wave 1548. Also simulcast on Sirius FM 105.7. The topic that we've chosen for today is called Coping with Exam Stress. Now, it doesn't matter if you are 6 years old or you are studying towards your PhD. The minute you hear the word exams or the thought of an exam, creates some sort of panic. It doesn't matter how prepared you are, but many times the night before there'll be a bit of anxiety, a bit of feelings of restlessness. When you sit in the exam room, you just feel like, I hope I studied enough, I hope I don't forget anything. And those feelings are so common to all of us. Even a child as young as 6 years old, when it comes to imtihan in madrasa, when it comes to schoolwork, they do get a bit nervous, irrespective of how prepared they are. Aside from the student who suffers from exam stress, we can't forget the parents. And often when we speak to the youth, they actually comment that their parents add to their anxiety, because obviously mom and dad want what's best for their child and obviously want their child to pass with flying colors. So sometimes parents, as much as they're eager for their children to perform well, their over-anxiousness can make their students or their children feel overly pressurized. But anyway, when it comes to exams, there is no easy way to go around about it. Study hard, remember your notes, and give it your best. Easier said than done. So today, my guest speaker is Maulana Iqbal Adam, and he is from Bloemfontein. He is an alim who graduated from the Darul Uloom in Newcastle. He was also a principal at one of the madrasas in Bloemfontein. He also taught at an Islamic school in Volcom. He's also qualified as a life coach and does motivational speaking countrywide. His focus area is educating the public on coping with stress, anxiety, and depression, particularly for our youth and students who are facing exams soon, with matric exams being around the corner. I think the show, inshallah, will be very, very beneficial. I also urge our listeners from Sirius FM and Radio Islam to please call in. The number is 011-854-1548. Share with us how you cope with exam stress. Maybe you could share a tip that has helped you and you want to share with our listeners. Parents can call in if they'd like to and tell us how they stress their children out, if they do that. And maybe some du'as that you read before you write an exam that you feel will benefit our listeners. So I look forward to hearing from you. And let's get to it. So, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Maulana Iqbal Adam, and welcome to Radio Islam International.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Okay, Maulana Adam, you heard the introduction, exam stress, something that you are questioned about all the time. And alhamdulillah, you are going to be sharing with us advice on how parents, educators, learners can cope. Okay. You've conducted many workshops around the country, right? How many in total?
I've conducted workshops in various high schools in Bloemfontein, in different locations, especially with matriculants from rural areas.
Mm-hmm.
I've been also conducting workshop in the Welcome Islamic School. I had a student workshop.
Mm-hmm.
And a teacher's workshop. Alhamdulillah, I've also had a workshop at Houghton Muslim School with the asatiza and the teachers.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
With the grace of Allah, I was also privileged to join Ma Suhail Wadi.
Mm-hmm.
Lately when he had the Ustad Development Workshop with all the asatiza, I joined him in Lange, mm-hmm. Newcastle, and now Spread. I also had a workshop, a youth workshop, a parental workshop in Barberton.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing youth in that area, alhamdulillah, if they're listening.
Yes, yes.
Absolutely, they've really touched me there.
Alhamdulillah.
I had a ladies' workshop in Johannesburg.
Mm-hmm.
So yes, I've been conducting various workshops, but my passion is to work with students,
mm-hmm.
and really motivate them, alhamdulillah.
Inshallah, may Allah accept your efforts. Now, obviously, when it comes to exams, it's a stressful time for children and for adults. I mean, we have, you know, university students, college students, you know, people that have are furthering their studies. It doesn't matter how old you are, but when you hear the thought of an exam, whether it's a written assignment or anything where you know you're going to be assessed, there is this feelings of panic. It's just normal. It's just natural.
Yes, definitely.
Okay. Now, when we spoke earlier this week, you spoke about a program that you conduct, and that's obviously helped at all these workshops that you have presented, right? And you spoke about a term that you refer to as brain drivers. Can you please tell us more about that?
Alhamdulillah, you know, Allah Ta'ala has created us in the best of form.
Mm-hmm.
Allah says in the Quran, لَكَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي أَحْسَنِ تَقْوِيمِ. We have created man in the best of form. And Allah Tabaraka Ta'ala has given us the intellectual capacity, the brain. And the brain has different drivers that can really take a person forward in life. So one is that if a person you just made mention in the beginning of your program, when students go through stress,
mm-hmm.
when you're under stress, your brain will not perform. Mm-hmm. The ability of coping will not be there.
Mm-hmm.
When a person is under stress, he doesn't have any stress, his coping power is much better, much stronger.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, you'll find at the time of imtihan, A student might memorize his surahs, he's the best in the class, and at the time of exams he finds another ustad testing him, he goes blank.
That doesn't mean
he doesn't know his work, because the brain went through a stressful time at that moment, so the brain shuts down.
Mm-hmm.
So research has proven that stress does kill the cells in the brain. The other driving a force of the brain is to have sufficient sleep.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore you see Allah Ta'ala makes mention in the Quran that we have created the night for you to rest.
Mm-hmm.
So if you don't have sufficient sleep, you will not be able to perform. You will not be at your best.
Mm-hmm.
So sleep is also a very vital thing for students. And as parents, we should encourage our children to try to have an early night sleep.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because if a child doesn't sleep, he's not going to perform at his best in school.
Mm-hmm.
The other influence of the brain is movement. Many times, many students that come to me, we find that they kinesthetic learners. They learn with movement.
Yes.
Now, if you go into a HIPS class, you will understand what I'm saying. You'll find students moving up and down. The more they move, the more they're memorizing. So movement is one of the driving forces of the brain, because the more you move around, so I teach the students while you're studying, move around, take your book and walk around. Have a chair with the wheel, you know, move up and down. I'm not saying the teacher should do this in school. Yeah, I know it's a big problem. But definitely within the environment at home, if students can move around, they will progress much better. And certain universities have used certain skills of letting the students move around in the seminars.
Mm-hmm.
And they found that these students, the performance levels were much more better than students just sitting still.
So also, obviously, it improves the concentration, because sometimes if you have your head down in a book for a long time, you're going to get bored, you're going to get tired, you're going to feel sleepy, and nothing is actually going to be absorbed. You know, you're going to be tired. So that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. So the more you move around and you give yourself a little break, you take a walk, you come back, and you start studying, and you move around while you're studying.
Mm-hmm.
And as parents, if you're listening, I always tell the parents, invest in those chairs that have wheels.
Mm-hmm.
You know these office chairs?
Mm-hmm.
Let your child have that chair and do his homework at home. and let him move around with that. It's fine.
Mm-hmm.
We always feel that when children move around or when children, we say, "Ke mastanche," we've got to get him checked, we've got to take him to a doctor, there's something wrong with him. Certain children, if there's no movement, they will not learn.
Mm. I mean, all children learn differently. I mean, people's attention span is, also vary. You know, like you say, some children need movement, some can concentrate for longer periods of time. So I think a good advice for parents will be to kind of establish what type of learning style your child has. So that will also help that child to study better.
Definitely. So sometimes if a child is moving a lot,
mm-hmm.
he would like to feel things.
Yes, yes.
And sometimes we say, "Ke bo mastanche," why he's doing this? He must sit still like a Sufi or an angel.
Mm-hmm.
But you're taking away his education from him, because movement makes the child learn better.
Mm-hmm.
So as you said, the parents need to see, if my child loves movement, then let me use that. As a school teacher, you will know that students in the classroom, some of them will take a pen and throw it up in the air,
mm-hmm.
or they'll carry on clicking the pen, which is the most irritating sound for the teacher.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But true.
That's how this child is learning, actually. And some children move their legs,
mm-hmm.
they carry on moving their legs up and down. So yes, certain people learn with the brain, their brain activity learns via the movement, the performance
mm-hmm.
improve via movement.
Mm-hmm.
The next driving influence that influences the brain is attitude.
Mm-hmm.
This is very, very important, because if you have a negative attitude, your brain will never perform.
Mm-hmm.
You will never give your best.
Mm-hmm.
If you have a positive attitude, you will give your best to your work.
Mm-hmm.
So, in other words, Nabiyan alayhi salatu wasalam, he always displayed this beautiful example within his life. And I found this very amazing. In the Battle of Badr, there were 313 sahabas.
Mm-hmm.
And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam came out after making dua, and he showed this positive energy, this positive attitude.
Mm-hmm.
And the sahabas mirrored him.
Mm-hmm.
And this, and they became very positive to fight this battle, and they won this battle.
Mm-hmm.
So yes, our positive attitude plays a vital role. Now, when we talk of attitude, we mean how we walk into your classroom. And many students have this habit, and when I do workshops with students, I show them, we normally walk like we're dying. we drag our feet. So that's the attitude you're showing your brain, and that's the attitude I'm going to come across. And that's an attitude that I'm going to be displaying within my work.
And it also shows the educator or the examiner that, like your body language, a lot of what we communicate is actually your body language, your facial expression, your gestures. And by doing that, you are giving off this message that I lack confidence, I'm not prepared for this exam. I don't think I'm going to achieve my goals. That's actually the message that your body language is giving out.
Yes, that's correct what you said.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of the key aspects here. I believe that if a student walks in, for example, a matriculant,
mm-hmm.
and when a matriculant come to me, one of the key problems for any matriculant or any student, even not matriculant, from grade 3, grade 4 is maths. And because you're coming into the examination room, and you're already stretching your head, and you're sitting down, being not confident, so already your brain is shut down. You're already showing this type of an attitude. So the key secret is that every thought that's in our mind comes onto our tongue.
Mm-hmm.
And what we say in our tongue becomes our attitude, becomes your destiny, becomes you
mm-hmm.
as an individual.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how we live with. So as parents, say for example, you tell your son that he's positive, he's motivated, and he can do it. That will be drawn into his subconscious.
Mm-hmm.
He will feel that way. He will feel this positive attitude.
Mm-hmm.
But many times, we make the child feel that, listen, If you don't study, you're going to fail. So the attitude that the child has is, so why should I study?
I'm going to fail anyway. They feel that way, that my parents don't believe in me, why should I believe in
me? Yes, so we need to bring this positive attitude within our home, positivity, you know, motivate our kids. As matriculants, every day, motivate yourself. Find something good in yourself. Find something positive within yourself. And build that up in your life and believe in that. Believe that you can do it. Or whatever your positive strengths are, take that and make it work for you.
You also mentioned the importance of self-affirmation, which you just said right now, you know, having this positive attitude. So again, an affirmation is where you're telling yourself, you know, like creating this positive mindset that I can do this, I can manage this, I will succeed.
Yes, basically in your attitude, because I believe that when a person has a positive attitude, his productivity is much better. His work is much better because he's positive. So even if he's writing the most difficult subject, but he's positive, he can do it. With Allah's help, he can go through that. You can definitely go through that. So we need to really motivate one another, motivate our students, and be a motivational factor in their life. Many times you'll find teachers that will tell a child that, you know what, you're not going to do it. You're not going to make it this exams. So don't even dream of coming out third in the class. Now that breaks the child's motivation. It breaks the child's spirit.
Of course.
And it breaks their attitude. So yes, we should have one of the driving forces is an attitude. I will explain to you about self-affirmation just now. The next part of the influences that drives the brain, amazingly enough, is brain food.
Yes. Okay, now I when you mentioned brain food, I know growing up, whenever it came to exams, and my mother still does this, she would insist on drinking badam milk and eating badam, and that badam is very good brain food. And you know, when we're kids, we just chi mummy, we take all of that. And you know, as you read up about the benefits of almonds, you realize that that actually is brain food. So can you elaborate a little bit more about that?
Yes, if you study the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, eat wholesome food. Eat good, pure food. Because if you study that 1400 years ago, and the neuroscientists made research with this recently, they found that food has a big impact onto the brain.
Yes.
What you eat has an impact on our brain, because most of the food that you eat goes to your brain. So, for example, protein, fish is very healthy. You know, a research has been done for the listeners to listen. They took a person drinking alcohol. And as he was drinking this alcohol, it's going down to his stomach. But his cells in the brain were shutting down. So therefore, when you take alcohol, you cannot drive because your concentration level has gone down. So yes, your brain plays a vital role in the food that you eat. So it's very important to have protein food. Badam milk, yes, what our old people thought, has a lot of protein inside. And research has proven that almonds are good for the brain, which our old people taught us.
And again, like you say, it's a healthy snack. And sometimes, you know, when your students are under stress, you know, they binge on junk food and, you know, fizzy drinks and you know, crisp sweet chocolates, and that takes them on the sugar high. And again, like you say, it'll have difficulty with them concentrating when they're studying, because now they have all this energy with such foods, which again is not helping them because it's not allowing them to concentrate on the work at hand.
Yes, and then lots of water, because 70% of your brain consists of water. So I always advise my students that are in matric that come to me, take some water with you in the classroom and drink a lot of water. And Nabi Sastam has shown this 1400 years ago, that when you get angry, the first thing you should do is drink water, because water has a big impact on the brain. So water is very important for students. Instead of fizzy drinks,
mm-hmm.
encourage your children to have water. Dates are very healthy, which was shown to us in the Sunnah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam.
Mm-hmm.
But latest research has also shown that dates are also very important. You know, when we give our kids school lunch, make sure that you don't give them chocolates, as you said, candies and sweets.
Mm-hmm.
Give them fruits, an apple, a banana, an orange. These are all brain foods. It will create an energy within the brain. When it comes to meat, and this is just a suggestion, but according to the prescription of it, is white meat. It's absolutely healthy for the brain.
Mm-hmm.
Chicken white meat is absolutely healthy for the brain.
Mm-hmm.
So these are some of the tips for brain food for parents.
Mm-hmm. Okay, no, inshallah, it will be very beneficial for our listeners, inshallah. Again, you were talking about, you know, obviously the importance of sleep. You know, we cannot ever underestimate that. A good night's rest will obviously help a child concentrate better or anyone writing an exam. But again, we have children who learn differently. You get those who cram in the night before, you get others that maybe study weeks before, you get others that just make points, which is like keywords, and they learn. So how do we sort of reprogram or encourage that student who is someone who pulls an all-nighter before an exam? Because maybe for that student, that's what works for him or her.
That's a very good question. Generally, what we allow our mind to do is to get emotionally clouded.
Mm-hmm.
That means I soak in a lot of things into my brain. I'm absorbing so much that I become stressed and I become anxious, and I want to now fulfill everything in that night to make sure I pass the exam.
Mm-hmm.
What we need to do is we need to break it down. We need to understand that the brain, once you start breaking things down into point form and say, I'm studying maths, these are the most important things I have to study. I'm giving myself half an hour, 45 minutes to just look at this, 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 this. It will make it easier for your brain to digest that and make it easier for your body. In other words, set your goal and just break it down. And assist your children to do that. Don't cramp their work for them in one night. And if you just know to say if a child is writing, let's take a madrasa exam, right?
Mm-hmm.
Say he's doing surahs.
Mm.
And generally we want our children to learn the surahs, make sure they know it. Even if they stay up to 12 o'clock at night, they must learn the surahs.
Mm-hmm.
If you just take that surahs and just write it down, Surah Fatiha, Surah Al-Kawthar, just write it down and make the child just go through each one in a point form, your work is done.
Mm-hmm.
It's easy to digest for the brain. When we cramp our work, we become anxious and that leads to anxiety and that's where it leads to stress and that's where your performance will go down.
Yes, makes a lot of sense. Really makes a lot of sense.
Mm.
Well, Adam, we're going to have a short ad break, and then we're going to come back with more of this valuable information that you're sharing with our listeners. Again, please remember that after our ad break, our lines will be open on 011-854-1548. We look forward to hearing from you. Please, if you have an exam tip that you'd like to share with our listeners, some advice to parents, to students, advice for matriculants, please share with us. We look forward to hearing from you. So we will be back, inshallah, after the short ad break, inshallah. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. And you back on Radio Islam International with me, Bibi Aisha, on Youth Talk. A very warm welcome once again to our listeners from Sirius FM as well. We're talking about how to cope with exam stress, and we're speaking to Maulana Iqbal Adam, who is an alim, a life coach and a motivational speaker, who has done talks countrywide to empower our youth, educators and parents on how to deal with stress. Okay, with particular exams looming around the corner, a lot of high schools and primary schools starting their assessments now for the third term, probably this week, next week. Exams is the buzzword that is going around right now. And exams is also not just a very stressful time for children, it's also a very stressful time for parents and caregivers. Do you agree, Malana Iqbal?
I do agree with you.
Okay. Your advice to parents, right now, I just want to give you two scenarios. You know, you can have a parent who will tell their child, I'm proud of you, I believe in you, give it your best. You know, I know you're going to do what you need to do, and I'm very proud of you. And then you get another parent, which often happens, maybe they have another child, or maybe they're comparing their child with a nephew or a niece or a neighbor's child, and you must get 6 A's. If you don't get 6 A's, there's something wrong with you. Why can't you perform like so and so? Can we compare these two scenarios? Because that is something that happens very, very often. Expectations sometimes from parents and caregivers can be unrealistic.
Definitely, I agree with you, and many times that leads to stress for the child,
mm-hmm.
because the child goes under the stressful mode,
mm-hmm.
and many times I found that when the exams take place, the caregivers and the parents are more nervous
mm-hmm.
for the exams than the children.
Yes, yes.
And then you'll find that they mirror that energy to the child,
mm-hmm.
because I believe that we mirror one another's energy. If I smile with a person, he's going to smile back to me.
Mm-hmm.
So if I have positive energy, I'll rub my energy to him.
Mm-hmm.
So if a mother is stressful and she's stressed about the exams, then the child will feel more stressed than anything else.
Mm-hmm.
So although it's an easy paper, I can cope with it, I can deal with it, but because I picked up my mother's energy of stress, it's affecting me.
Mm-hmm.
So my advice to the parents is, motivate your children, as I said in the beginning. Keep them motivated and don't have high expectations.
Mm-hmm.
Let them be who they are. They will achieve their goals, they will achieve their dreams, and let them be who they are.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I think that's one of the key aspects that many parents don't want to accept that.
Mm-hmm.
They put so much of pressure on the children that you have to make me proud. You have to be the best in the class.
Mm-hmm.
I want to be that parent that comes there and gets an award.
Yes, yes.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
At the award evening.
Yes.
Let your child be what he is. I'm not saying don't leave your child, but don't put stress on him.
Mm-hmm.
Give him motivation. He will work at his own time, and you will find progress within the children.
Mm-hmm. Also, often you get a scenario, like I mentioned earlier, where sometimes siblings are compared, and
yeah.
that is also not something that a child can deal with easily, because every child is unique.
Yes, every child has a unique intellectual capacity.
Mm-hmm.
So certain, your might be if your first child is intellectual and is good and is doing well, might be your second child might not be in that level.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because Allah Ta'ala has created us differently.
Yes.
So we need to accept and we need to work within the capability and intellectual capacity of our children.
Mm-hmm.
And motivate them from what within what they have.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that will enhance the child and make the child feel more better and more stronger.
Yes. Yes, yes. Because obviously they want to please their parents and they want their parents to be proud of them. And sometimes our expectations can be a bit unrealistic, and that just adds to the child's anxiety when it comes to performing an exam. So something that us as educators also need to take heed to, because we all guilty of this as educators as well. I mean, I'm one myself, where maybe a child performed in a certain way in term one, and in term two, maybe the performance is not as good. And then we're like, what happened? You were there, and what's going on now? And I expect you to do this. So something we need to reflect on also moving forward as educators.
Yes, definitely. I mean, you're not going to expect the child to perform the same all the time.
Mm-hmm.
There is going to be a fluctuation. He might do well in the first term, second term, he might not do well.
Mm.
He might just need some motivation and a touch.
Mm-hmm.
And many times with us as parents and as educators also, we make the child feel so bad about himself. I met one person, he told me that his teacher called him a stupid when he was in grade 3. The teacher told him he is dumb. You're stupid. And he said that motivated him to become a lecturer and a professor.
Alhamdulillah.
To go back to his teacher and say, you called me a stupid, but see what I am. So yes, certain children will not react that way. It will break their self-esteem. It will break them down. So we need to be very careful how we motivate our children and how we speak to them.
Yes.
That's the key advice I can give parents.
Yes, and there's also contextual factors that we need to take into regard. You know, sometimes exams, you know, creep up and maybe the child was ill, so hence the child didn't perform as well.
Yes.
Or maybe there's been some, you know, some activity in the family, maybe somebody passed on, or maybe someone close to the child has been ill as well, or, you know, maybe they've, I mean, things happen, you know, maybe the child's being bullied. So if the child obviously is not feeling good emotionally, he's not going to give his or her best in an exam. So also, if a child doesn't perform as expected, you know, we need to look at contextual factors as well.
Yes, it's like we as adults, we start our work, we got a new job, we're performing at our higher, our best, you know. And as our work progresses, we tend to either lay back, relax, you know, because we got immune to the job situation. And that makes our performance low. And then I get back again up and I start working hard. So children have the same emotions. Children have emotions all the time. So one stage they can be happy, one stage they can be sad. Something might have affected them in school. So their performance might go down, you know. So as parents, we need to be in tune with this, but don't put pressure on them and don't put stress on them.
Okay, for our students that are obviously older, that are, you know, maybe high school, getting ready for university or university students. Again, we spoke about the importance. Okay, I think we just have a bit of friction there. Okay, that sounds better. You know the importance of affirmations. Can you tell us more about that?
Students that are in matric, students that are in university, one of the key secrets for your success is to have to have self-affirmation. That means to believe in yourself. Every day, look at yourself in the mirror. Now this, when I teach the people, I tell them that this was the sunnah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam 1400 years ago. When Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, when you look into the mirror, you read, Allahumma anta hasanta khalqi. Allah, you created me in the best of way and empower my character, empower me, you know. This has a big impact on the subconscious. Self-affirmation means look at yourself in the mirror and say how good you look, how great you are, how good you can see, you can breathe, you are an intelligent person before your exams. Look at yourself in the mirror. This has a big impact on the subconscious. And the subconscious will then program your conscious to work in that fashion. Muhammad Ali used to look at himself in the mirror and used to say, I jump like a butterfly and I sting like a bee and I'm a world champion. And yes, that motivated him. He became a world champion.
Yes.
So yes, one of the secrets of self-affirmation is looking at yourself in the mirror. And trying to find something good that Allah has given you. And taking that with you before your exams to school. And saying, I look great, I look beautiful, I got lovely eyes. And many girls that come to me or ladies, they will tell me, we try to look at ourselves in the mirror because we picked up weight. Don't worry about that. Just look at yourself in the mirror and find something good. And hang on to that.
Yeah.
And that would motivate and boost your self-conscious.
Yeah, I mean, everyone obviously is created with such beauty. You just need to look deep within yourself and find the magic within you.
Yes.
Definitely.
Yes.
Malana Adam, What is your advice to matriculants? Because we always know the pressure when it comes to matriculants, you know, for by the educators, you know, there's expectations from the Department of Education. You know, the worst thing for any matriculant, I know when I was in matric, the whole thought was, my results are going to be in the newspaper. People are going to read, and if they don't sign my name, all of us go through this. It doesn't matter how confident you are, how well you know your work. That's something we all stress about.
My advice to the matriculants is the following. Our brain shuts down with anxiety. When we become too anxious of achieving a high goal, we will obviously shut down. What we need to do is we need to live our life, plan our stuff, draw a goal, write your goal on the wall. Today I got maths, write it on the wall, write it bold, I'm writing maths on Thursday. And then start planning, start drawing a goal, plan, and say, this is what I'm going to be studying, this is the important aspects I'm going to be studying. Take your time and study through that. Don't worry of where you're going to be, if you're going to be in the newspaper or not. Just study and make that the best. The second advice, always in your room, write something motivational. Find something motivational, write it with a colored cookie, stick it onto your mirror, and as you're studying, look at it. It will motivate you every day. Albert Einstein said, the mind can move a mountain. And if you motivate this mind of ours, our brain, you can be the best.
Definitely, inshallah.
The third advice which I give matriculants is that, remember, when you're writing your paper or whatever you're going to study in the future, make an intention that you're going to serve the Ummah of Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So make your intention from now that it's the purpose, whatever I'm studying, I'm going to serve the Ummah for the sake of Deen.
Inshallah.
Allah will take care of your studies.
Ameen, ameen.
So that's the key secret I can share with
you. That's the best advice ever. I just want to share something with you, and I'd like your thoughts about it. I'm very guilty about what I'm going to tell you. So since I was a young girl, I have this habit after an exam of doing a post-mortem. Now, you know what that is.
Yes,
once we're done, you come out and you think, okay, let's say I got this right, I got that right, I got that right. And obviously, if you made a mistake somewhere, now you start freaking out. Now, you have an exam paper due the next day or maybe 2-3 days later, but I'm dwelling on the errors that I may have made in the paper that I wrote earlier today. How bad is that?
That breaks a person's self-esteem.
Yes.
It will break your spirit, because for the next paper, you're not going to perform as good as that. Now, in your classroom, you will find students, once they write their paper, might be they answer 10 questions out of 20. And they come out of the exam and you ask them, how was the paper? Simple man, aspire, child that paper.
Yes.
He's not worried, but he's confident. And the next paper he's studying. And then you'll find people that are intellectual people that really wants to now post-mortem that paper and say, oh my goodness, I should have answered this way. It breaks your spirit for the next paper. So what I advise the students, don't do that. And the parents especially. Because you find that when the child comes home, how was the paper? What did you write? How did you answer it? You know? Don't do that. Just let it go. Feel free, release it, and start studying for the next paper.
I know my mother and my father used to always tell me, it's written, it's over, you can't change what you wrote in the paper, move on. So I think that was good, because as much as I may have been negative about a certain question, they were positive. They didn't dwell on it, they told me move on, so that helped me a lot. Okay, that really helped me a lot. Okay, what would be your advice to parents overall when it comes to an exam? Because I know many parents, I mean my own were the same, us as teachers as well, we do get very anxious for our learners. We obviously want them to perform at their best. And advice to us, how we can calm down.
One of the key secrets I share with parents is two important aspects. One is, your energy Mm-hmm. Whatever energies you have, your kids are going to mirror that.
Mm-hmm.
So if you are positive and you feel good and motivate your kids every day, they're going to mirror that energy of yours every day.
Mm-hmm.
And the second secret, Nabi and Ali Sallallahu taught us in the hadith, the secret we have is that the dua of a mother is accepted.
Yes.
So as a mother, you have the greatest weapon that Allah has given you. Sit the Hajjud time and make dua for your child.
Mm-hmm.
That is the greatest thing that you can do.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing more that you can achieve or what goals you want for your child. You've got the weapon of dua.
And fathers too, Malana Adam.
And fathers
too. And fathers too.
When it comes to fathers, I always say to the fathers, one key secret I always share with the parents that come to me,
mm-hmm.
I tell them, as fathers, sit with your child and read him a story.
Mm-hmm.
At the time of exams too, with your small children, sit and read them a story. The child feels connected. He feels mm-hmm. that support.
Mm-hmm.
He feels that strength. He feels that hope. And he feels that belief that I can do it.
Mm-hmm.
My dad read me a story. It's a small thing. It might be insignificant in our eyes, but it's a great, important lesson. It has
it's
a great
bonding.
Impact.
Yeah,
yes,
yeah.
Yes.
And there's also nothing wrong with breaks. It's just that, you know, the studying period should be maybe an hour and the break 15 minutes, not the other way around. Because sometimes, you know, we can't also have our head in the book all the time. You need a break. So that's just to refresh. But sometimes you get students that will have the break longer than the study period. Am I correct?
Yes, no. what students should do, especially matriculants, I know what you're talking about. They should have a goal, they should write it down. I'm studying for 25 minutes, for example,
mm-hmm.
and I'm taking a break for 10 minutes. And then I program my mind to work that way because the mind becomes habitual
mm-hmm.
of how I set it, how I program it.
Yes.
You got that?
Yes, yes. Makes
so
lots
the mind
of sense.
Becomes accustomed to how I program it.
Mm-hmm.
So if you program it for 10 minutes break, it will only take the 10 minutes break and rush in and get started again.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Malana, before we leave you, we still have a few minutes. I would love for you to please share with us some du'as that you encourage parents to teach their children and you encourage students to recite before they start an exam.
One of the secrets which most ulama shared
mm-hmm.
is that before you write your paper, this is from my first, before I give you the dua,
mm-hmm.
before you write a paper in examination room, feel confident, sit on the chair, take a deep breath in
mm-hmm.
and a deep breath out. Just breathe in and breathe out. After you have relaxed, then read Durood Sharif 10 times.
Mm-hmm.
In your mind, read Durood Sharif 10 times. And after you have read Durood Sharif 10 times, then read Qul Huwallahu Ahad 5 times.
Mm-hmm.
And then Rabbi Yassir wa la tu'assir wa tammim bil khair. That, oh Allah, make it easy for me, do not make it difficult for me, and complete it with ease.
Mm-hmm.
I heard one senior scholar giving me an advice. He said, tell the students to read Alam Nashrah.
Yeah, okay.
Before they write the paper.
Yes, yes.
Yes.
Alhamdulillah. You know, the one, the common dua that we all make, I still do that as well. Is Rabbi Zid Alma wa
Zahma. Yes, yes.
Jeez.
That's also great. Alam Nashrah is also great. Mm. Fa'inna ma'al usri yusra. But every difficulty comes ease and joy.
Inshallah. Ameen. Yes. Ameen. And like you said, the best niyat is, you know, Ya Allah, I am writing this so inshallah I can succeed in my life, so I can benefit the ummah for your pleasure, inshallah.
Ameen. Ameen.
Ameen. So may Allah be pleased with us. Maulana Iqbal Adam, it has been a pleasure having you on air with me. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you in abundance the work that you do and for the difference that you are making in the community of Bloemfontein as well as countrywide. And inshallah, may you continue to prosper in all that you do in the path of deen, inshallah.
Ameen, inshallah.
Ameen. Jazakumallahu khairan. Our beloved listeners, very, very useful advice, very, very beneficial information that inshallah we can put to use in our lives as educators, as parents, as students, methods of dealing with stress, brain food, importance of rest, finding our children's learning styles, study styles, positive affirmations. The most important thing that we need to understand that all of us are created with a purpose. All of us have the ability to make a difference. We just need one person to believe in us, and we need to believe in ourselves. So inshallah, may Allah grant success to all of the children and to the students, to anybody who is going through an exam soon. May Allah increase you in knowledge, wisdom and understanding. May Allah make it easy for you, accept your intentions inshallah, and grant you success in whatever it is that you do. To parents, believing in your child is the most important thing that you can do for your child. Communicating with your child, affirmations like Maulana Adam explained, are so important. Sometimes a child may not pass, a child may fail an exam. It's not the end of the world. It really isn't the end of the world. If it comes to a point where a child needs to repeat the year, trust me, from an educator's perspective, that extra year will be the best thing that could have happened to your child. The children grow emotionally. They realize that, you know what, whatever I did the year before, I need to change. I need to do better for myself. So it's not a train smash. Not everybody is destined to be very academically inclined, but all of us have a purpose. Some children don't always end up becoming doctors or lawyers. There's nothing wrong with that. We all have a talent. We all have a purpose in this world. So again, just please remember that if a child fails an exam, it really isn't the end of the world. Give the child the love, the motivation, the confidence, and the belief in him or herself that they can try again next year, and inshallah they will succeed. From me, Bibi Aisha Lahey, inshallah, I look forward to chatting to you again next week. Have a blessed week, and please remember us in your du'as, inshallah. Jazakumullahu khairan. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.